Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Holy cow! The Lions on Thursday Night Football in front of the nation against the Packers in Lambeau Field. Just absolutely dominate the Packers in almost every, not almost, in every phase of the game. 34-20. The game wasn't even as close as the score represents, honestly. Just an absolute ass kicking. A little bit of scare maybe in the third quarter, but the Lions overcame it pretty easily. My God, what a game. We're going to get into all of that in a moment. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other two that are here tonight. We got UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
And Rud Dog.
Yo!
You guys, the Lions are 3-1. They have now essentially a two-game lead in division because of the tiebreaker over the Packers. The Vikings 0-3, Bears 0-3. I mean, the Lions are... There's a long season still to go. But my God, just seeing, it looks like 40% of the stadium, maybe 35 to 40% of the Lambeau Field had Lions fans in it tonight as well. The energy is real. The energy's through the roof. My God, what just a beautiful game through and through. This game starts with an interception on the third play of the game.
Yeah.
It looks like the Lions are in trouble immediately, but the defense steps up, holds them to a field goal, and then the Lions just take over. From there on out. But I mean, Rud Dog, where do you want to start, defense or offense?
Oh man, I think the defense, because yes, they just have become so freaking good.
Oh,
that pass rush was outstanding, but the run defense was maybe more outstanding. I don't know, like the coverage was tight. We swarmed, man. It was just really nice looking.
Run defense has been elite, and if they stay on this pace, it's going to be historic. The way they are stopping the run right now, it was a weakness last year. They were giving up like 150 yards, even more maybe, on the ground to start, like that 2-6 start last year. Most notably, like 280 against the Seahawks, and then this year I don't think they've allowed anybody even over 80 yards on the ground. This one, 27 yards. Aaron Jones had 18 yards. AJ Dillon 11. Jordan Love 2. -2. Sorry. So 27 yards and 12 carries for 2.3 average. That's
incredible. like me and UJ were talking about this during the game. They can give you so many different looks with that front, with that, those linebackers, and with this defensive line. Like at one point, I think in three back-to-back plays, we saw it was like Anzalone, Campbell, and Barnes all out there at once. And then the next play, it was like Rodrigo, Anzalone, and Branch. And then it was Campbell and Barnes. Like, what a crazy, like, swing of, like, you don't know what you're going to see. And all of those guys are very good at things in different ways. Like, it's just, like, it's no wonder we're being so effective up front, especially when you consider the real engine of this defense, Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson was all over again. The Lions had 5 total sacks in this game, 8 tackles for loss, 6 pass deflections as well. And what I was trying to hold it in for before we got on the podcast. But man, when you have a pass rush like this, that allows your DBs to be way more aggressive. That's why you see those 6 pass deflections. They hop on certain routes. They don't have to hesitate. You know, if the pass rush is not getting there, like we saw against the Seahawks, then, you know, they have to be a little more passive, make sure they're in there. I mean, it always starts at D-line. That's always my philosophy, I think. And it is just awesome to see this happen. I love seeing Bugs get a sack tonight, too.
Really
see
good.
Him involved in there. Charles Harris had half a sack. Hutch, 1.5. Probably could have had more. Ali McNeil, another sack.
McNeil, he looked good.
It looks great in the run game, too. Kaminsky was all over, had a big stop on a 2-point conversion. That kind of stopped the Packers' momentum a little bit, that tackle. Because it looked like Love had the corner on that 2-point conversion to make it a one-score game. But alas. Those are all the Hutch. Oh, Harris had half a sack too at the end of the first half there. And Harris was wearing the captain's logo, which I thought was interesting tonight.
Harris had a good game.
Yeah, but I mean, just beastly up and down. Brian Branch led the team in tackles again.
God, I hope whatever really he's scary. Failing him is not bad.
Usually, I know you were scared when he went down with the injury.
He looks so damn good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I tell you, we hate to lose that guy right now. I think Hutch is the true engine of this defense, but Branch is right there with him, baby. I mean, those two guys are just dynamos out there. Yeah, it scared me to see him come up, but just the fact that he came back on the field, that gives me a lot of hope. So I think he'll be fine. You got 10 days to heal up now for the next one, so I think he's going to be good to go.
Yeah, it seemed like cramps or something were bugging him, but I don't know.
It was his ankle. It was something with his ankle. I don't know if it's a sprain or what. We're going to find out. But
jeez.
It wasn't a cramp. We can't lose him. Tweaks. But people were fearing like Achilles or something, because that's what you see nowadays, it seems, every time. Thank God it was not, of course.
It's really frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
It's really frustrating to watch him constantly collapsing on the field, but I guess if I have to put up with that to get that quality of play, you know, like, what the heck? Like, just say, I don't want him to go down, but it's like.
And the Lions are still down. They're starting two safeties, but Walker and Iffy have looked great. Iffy lay in the wood.
Man, yeah, that was great. Yes. I was going to be pissed if they called that a penalty, but it turned out to be another ticky-tack BS call. On Hutch getting hands to the face, like
the Lions were battling the refs there for a good amount. Like there was clearly 0 seconds on the clock at the end of the third quarter when they let that play go.
Yeah,
the refs clearly put their finger on the scale in this one. I don't care what the motive was, whether it was because they wanted the Packs to win or just to not have the game be a real stinker where we just burn them out of the stadium. Like
I think Jeff Bezos called in and said, "Hey,
that's what I was saying.
$12 for this game. Can we at least make it like?" With a double digit.
Bezos don't allow blowouts on his network.
No kidding.
Oh, man.
I thought we were about to do it
with
the Dolphins.
Time off the clock.
It's not hard.
And again,
it's
with
really
the time on the clock play.
Oh, that was such BS. They caught it after.
The clock ran out. Yeah. Rodgers got away with that like 3 times last year, and now they're letting him get away with it again. That was blatant.
Definitely.
Again, another missed call.
Hey, boys, how
like Campbell
is that?
Says, we can't let the refs
She's
beat us, and we don't.
It was the same thought.
But the Lions did get a break because they usually don't get the break in terms of like the ref screwing a call and then reversing it on the field goal there. Like the Packers' return team was out on the field, and then they pulled everybody off.
Right.
No, there was a flag. That was bizarre. this reffing crew, not great. But better than Cleet Blakeman, I suppose. But Cleet Blakeman, it was a closer game, that one.
The nicest thing is it just didn't matter. The Lions were just much better.
Yes. Through and through. I was trying to tell the Packers fans before the game, Jordan Love, not very good. But it's hard to be good when you're running for your life throughout the game. But he did miss him. Yeah,
he's not good. Coach, so.
He managed to get some things going later in the game. Honestly, I'm not going to crap on him too much because most quarterbacks are going to wilt under that pressure. he made some plays at certain points, but I'm actually kind of irritated on that touchdown, though. I don't care what Bezos wanted. Like, we were about to keep them out of the end zone that game, but that drive was just kept alive on life support constantly with refs making crap up.
Yeah.
But Jerry Jacobs had 2 picks in this game as well, I should mention.
Yeah.
A guy that's
Jerry, my boy.
He had 4 pass deflections, too. So a pretty good game out of him. Still a guy that
Z would rather see on the bench.
I mean,
I like him, man.
I like him, too.
He's a good depth piece on a team, and that's what his role is on the team. And he has to step up because Mosley's still not healthy. But, He's good for what he is. He has his limitations, though, for sure. Another pass interference call in this game. But, I mean, still a great game out of him. by all accounts.
You know, like, not many guys would get two picks, three deflections, and all that stuff, and get ripped by the drinking the blue Kool-Aid crew after a game like that. Way to go, Big Z.
I said overall a great job, but he has limitations. That's what I'm saying. It's all
gotta have the qualifier in there. Can't just give him his due props. You gotta remind you gotta focus on the negative part.
You know, a guy we don't mention enough because Cam Sutton. Teams aren't targeting him because he's doing such a great job.
He's
covering.
So good. That hit today.
Mm-hmm.
When he flipped the dude was sick.
Oh yeah, beastly. So I mean, just a nice shout out to him there. But Jack Campbell, 3 tackles. Anzalone, 5 tackles. Derek Barnes, 6 tackles. So the linebacking crew is a strength now, and for years and years and years, but. Incredible weakness of this team. So, but again, it starts at the D line. If the D line is playing how they're supposed to, it helps out the linebackers. It starts at D line, then it goes to the linebackers, and it goes to the DBs. It's like,
well, I got a question. What is Jack Campbell? Because, you know, honestly, of all the people that we said were like, you know, they talked about how Gibbs was going to be this magical weapon on offense that you'd be surprised with how he used. Honestly, I'm not that surprised so far with him. But Jack Campbell is like, rush just a straight up end someplace. Like they're using him as a defensive lineman and a linebacker. This dude is a stud. Like, and he's getting in on sacks and quarterback hits. I don't see him like breaking out yet and have like a big play, but like this dude is already, he's just so unique. Not many players could do that.
Definitely. And he's
that's why they're finding.
I can't wait to go back.
Ways to keep him in the game, you know?
Yeah. Well, the Iowa coach did say if he had 10 Jack Campbells, he'd have, you know, 5 play D line and 5 play linebacker.
He did. Man, what a joy. What a joy. All the way around. I mean, this rookie class just continues to just beast on both sides of the ball. Like we mentioned Branch, like we mentioned Campbell. We haven't even seen Patrick Martin yet. He's an active again today. But
look at Gibbs's numbers, though. I think he had a quietly like really high impact game, like where he didn't do anything super big, but at one point I saw that his yards, he had like 8 carries for 40 yards. He's averaging 6 yards a carry, like, and give, you know, meanwhile Montgomery had a great game, but he had like 31 carries and got like, well, he went off right at the end there to really tack on some nice chunks. Yeah. But
32 carries for 121 yards tonight from Montgomery.
Yeah, that
3 touchdowns as well.
Right, but his average was like 3.5. Like Gibbs was still getting bigger impact per touch. Yeah. Like he's still not feeling the field yet. I don't think he still feels a little uncomfortable, like in the offense, not quite sure and, you know, decisive enough.
I thought he looked a little better tonight though than he did last game. Just making his cut and go on field. You know, Montgomery is not a guy that's going to get like 7 yards a carry. It's not how he runs, but he's never going to get the negative carries either. He falls forward. The man has really good jump cuts that go forward. Like you see a lot of running backs maybe have jump cuts, but they go horizontally, but Montgomery, like, it has purpose and he's always going up field with any of his movements. And that's great, especially when the Lions need that 1 yard. He's been extremely clutch. And now they have their new Jamal Williams this year, a guy that can punch it in from the 1 yard line as a running back.
Hey, did you?
Oh man!
Repeat.
Did you guys see the graphics on those touchdowns? They were showing the creases they were making for Monty on those touchdown runs. They showed one after the other, and they showed the blocking creases that the line was creating. It was really awesome on all Montgomery's touchdown runs. Did you see that during the telecast?
That's no.
I must have missed that. Blocking.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. It was pretty.
Sorry, I think we're just having a little audio issue.
Yeah, your audio is really bad. Sorry, UJ.
We are. Yes.
I don't think we fully understood what understand what you just said, DJ, to be honest with you, because you're on a slight delay right now. Well, technical difficulties at the moment with you, Jay.
I kind of heard him. I think he was talking about like a graphic where they were showing all the holes they opened for Montgomery. I'm trying to remember what it was, but UJ, why don't you just oh, he's gone.
Yeah, he's going to rejoin. But yeah, I think he's talking about the whole just the dominance of the O-line tonight, which it was dumb. What a difference maker has it is having Decker back out there.
For sure.
Just a solid for two reasons. First of all, it allows somebody like Nelson's on the IR, but Skipper or Sorsdahl to not play when they're not ready by a wide margin, but also move Sewell back over to where he's probably better right now. He still has some work to do on the left side, but for whatever reason, but I mean, Sewell's just more used, I think, to the right side. That's why he's been excelling there. But Decker is a steady presence on the left side, and moving Sewell back over to the right side just makes it so much, much, much beastlier of a offensive line. Good teams, yeah, like you said, they carry on, and that's what the Lions did.
Well, especially considering it started with a pick.
Right. Three plays in the game, and not a good pick from Goff at all. That's one he could have easily avoided.
Let me ask you, Z, though. When that pick happened, did you feel nervous? Were you like, what did you feel?
Were I you always concerned? Get nervous. It's just natural for me.
I don't know. I just felt kind of like, oh, well, you know, it's a pick. There's plenty of time to make up for it. Like, you know, they held them to three and then they did. You know, my cousin Grace, she pointed out that there was a chance that it was almost my prediction almost came true. Or at least it looked like it could have for a minute.
Yeah, what was yours?
It was like 45 or 54 to 6, I think, something like that.
Yeah, that would have been your closest one yet.
And before that, like that penalty assisted drive for a touchdown, it was really looking possible.
It was.
But she pointed out, like, you know, like, I don't, you know, why does everyone have to assume the worst things are going to happen? Like, I just expect the best thing. So today it was actually like my dad kept saying, I can't believe it. This is unbelievable. I'm like, no, this is what I'm expecting. I can't believe it when we go out there and do stupid things like turn it over and lose games and stuff. That's what doesn't make sense. So this really made a lot of sense today to me. That's all I'm saying. This was a nice game.
It still wasn't a good pick from Goff, though. Like, just a guy sitting right in the zone over the middle.
No, he didn't see him.
I mean, Goff didn't have to do a ton today. He actually had a really nice, like, play action, avoided the, I forgot who was trying to tackle him in the back. Like, 10
Monty show, baby.
But, yeah, I mean, this Packers run defense is very bad. They're giving up, like, 170 yards a game or something like that. On the
Goff did have a long run, though. He ran for 11 yards on a play.
They keep underestimating him. They keep underestimating his run.
I don't want him to get too many ideas, honestly. Don't get crazy and start getting hits because you're trying to get runs. Even if they're effective, I'd just rather you stay healthy.
UJ, are you back with us? Can you hear us?
UJ.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me? 10 seconds after 10 seconds after I say something.
UJ, can you try joining by your phone by any chance?
Yeah, did you try your phone?
I'll try that.
I will try.
So UJ,
it's like UJ, the UJ featurette. Every once in a while, he'll just pop up.
UJ versus technology.
Yeah, that's what this is.
But featured although episode. This is kind of out of his hands, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in that regard.
Yeah, it sucks.
But yeah, I mean, just beasting on the ground, offensive line, a lot of good double teams, a lot of getting to the second level, especially out of Ragnow.
The tight ends are blocking good.
Tight ends are blocking good. It's just all around just great. And they were able to control the clock, have nice long drives there to keep the game moving along, especially in the second half when they're up so big and just need to kind of put the game away. Because it did get to 10 points. It was very interesting. Green Bay had a lot of momentum at a certain point in that third quarter.
Lions
offense responded really well. I actually wanted to run the ball even more than they did, honestly. I thought they got cute a couple times there in the third quarter when they didn't need to. But at the same time, like they run a nice naked bootleg and get Josh Reynolds open for a 20-yard gain. Josh Reynolds, he's back. He was back this week. He's absent last week, but maybe just need to heal up a little more from that groin injury to come back. Because he averaged 23 yards a catch in this game. So,
yeah. Peace. Stud. He is a stud. He comes up clutch. He's big. He's strong. Like, man, I'm so happy we have him. Like, honestly, the only non-production I'm noticing really is like out of that like back end of the receiver core. Like, you don't see much Marvin Jones. You don't see much what's his face? Antoine Green. Khalif Raymond did get a nice run.
Yeah, it was great. And it was great reverse.
He's a great gadget guy. The one thing I think we're missing is that J-Mo back, baby. When we get J-Mo to fill to be that opposite of Reynolds. Like, oh
yeah, because this is another game Marvin Jones is non-factor.
He dropped the one he had a chance for.
He did. Well, did he drop it? I thought it was just a golf sailed it out of bounds.
I like Marvin Jones. I don't care if he drops every ball this season and just is like the good morale guy. He's out there throwing her on his body for blocks. He just drops every ball, but like, you know, maybe he comes up with a clutch one once in a while, but like we just keep winning, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think he had a drop in this one. I just don't think he was targeted.
Was it not a drop? I thought it was a drop.
No, it was just golf threw it out of bounds over.
It was not a drop. Hey, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, hey. We can hear you. You're slightly delayed, but we can at least hear you. So.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's a cool
all
angle.
Right.
You're
so you did.
It wasn't a drop. It was a bad throw.
Yeah, bad throw. Yep.
Anyway.
All right. Fair enough. I'm not gonna argue.
But you, Jay, you were before you started having the computer issues. You were saying something about the offensive line.
Yes, we got to give them a lot of credit today. I know there were a couple weak times, but I'll tell you what, when it counted and at the goal line, they were creating creases for Montgomery to run through. That was unbelievable. And I give kudos on the telecast because they did a great job of illustrating how these holes are being made by the linemen. It was pretty incredible. And Montgomery just, he sees them, man. He has great vision through the line. So, you know, he might eclipse Jamal Williams' 17 touchdowns this year if he keeps going like he's going. So,
oh yeah,
let's see.
You know, that's the thing I feel about like the difference between him and where like Gibbs is. Like Gibbs is like getting chunks because he's just so damn fast and athletic, and like, but I feel like he's leaving yards on the field at the same time because he's not like he's just putting his head down and charging, and he's not reading and like, you know, maybe finding a little extra space by juking or something. And I feel like he's just not comfortable enough to do that or something. I don't know. That's my UJ was asking if he was timid. I don't know if that's what I was feeling. Timid's not the word I was thinking. But I thought he looked like fast and just needed to keep getting more comfortable.
I agree. He needs to be more comfortable. He just doesn't seem super confident out there at the moment. And we're not doing him any favors. Every time he catches the ball, he's getting smacked. I mean, he's not really getting out in space a lot. So
yeah, I was expecting more of the screen game with him too. We've really seen that too much.
Actually, they keep using him as like the decoy for those things. It seems like.
Well, like, it's almost like teams are really keying on him, like as if he's their biggest threat, and he hasn't shown it yet, but teams are acting like he is.
Maybe that's why he hasn't shown it.
I don't know. So
that's what I'm feeling like. Maybe. What do you think, Z? Do you think people are targeting him more, or do you think he's just still trying to get a handle on things? Or
I mean, they're keen on whoever we have back there. So they're definitely putting his speed as a factor, but I was expecting like Gibbs maybe even running streaks down the sideline with his speed too. I haven't really seen that too much. Motion him to the outside, get him one right. on one with like a linebacker or a nickel or cornerback, something like that. Because I mean, he can outrun any of those guys. We haven't really seen that yet.
That one,
maybe
first
they're waiting
down,
to fully
integrate
it. You know, they don't want to reveal it. They know they're going to go out there and kick Green Bay's ass. So why reveal everything now when you need it later?
Awesome.
I don't know.
I love it though. That to think that that's like a viable strategy now to like actually consider we can keep things in reserve because we know we can just win this game. Yeah. Like do you remember a Lions team that could like legitimately afford to do that?
No.
Every game felt like you needed to dig deep.
Hey, I want to give some kudos to Ben Johnson a little bit here because I know we seem to struggle at times, but it seems like every game he comes up with a couple plays that are just game breakers. Yep. That move, that double move out, that pattern by Amon-Ra for that touchdown was just a thing of absolute beauty. It was so beautiful. Sweet. That and the double reverse play when it seemed like the whole team was keen on Gibbs and it came back to Khalif Raymond. Another well-designed, just a couple of huge plays in the game. You know, it seems like Ben always comes up with something like that a couple, two, three times a game.
He has such a good feel. For, yep. I mean, a big part of what an offense coordinator has to do is just get a feel for the game and the flow of the game and understand when's the right time to call a certain play. Like the flea flicker that we had last week against the Seahawks? I can't remember which one. Maybe it was the Seahawks game that occurred.
Yeah.
Either way, he times these up perfectly where he's like in that game, we weren't running the ball great, but it was like 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards. Boom. Fall asleep.
Boom. Take out the mic.
Boom.
But we're live. That's live.
gosh, darn it.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
Oh, well, my God. Me and you, buddy.
Took
me
himself
buddy.
Out.
I'm out. Him and Kramer. Yeah, well, it's a Seinfeld reference. You might not remember it, but I'm out. The older fans will know that one I'm talking about.
Yeah, but, so UJ,
yeah.
What do you think of the receiver core here?
Love our receiver core. Reynolds is a very unsung hero this season so far in four games. He just seems to be coming up with clutch catch after clutch catch. Amon-Ra is just, good Lord, he's just so good. And Laporta is just turning into an unbelievably incredible find. Our receiving corps and Khalif Raymond, him too. I mean, he's Mr. Clutch. He's the definition of grit, if you ask me.
You know,
Campbell's guys.
You know what, UJ?
Terrible. He dropped that ball over the middle, UJ.
But he made up for it with another tough grab like a few plays later. But hey, about you know, Khalif Raymond, you know, I think he is like, I think Ben loves him because he's kind of like a secret weapon, like because he's used in such specific ways that people are always kind of sleeping on him when he goes off on him for like a flea flicker touchdown or, you know, a jet sweep that takes him for like 40 yards. He's just like kind of like a quiet assassin out there. Like he doesn't do a ton of things on offense necessarily, but I mean, I don't know. It's also hard to keep track of how much everyone's out there, but you know, he's not getting targeted a whole bunch, but when he gets his touches, he makes things happen.
Absolutely. He's a great punt returner. He proves it almost every game. And then I got to say though, on that double reverse though, watching him just literally run as fast as he could. Like he was so just running as fast as he could. And he ran away from the one guy. The other guy had the angle on him, but man, you can see he was putting every ounce into that of speed he had. And it was just kind of cool to watch. Guy put full 100% effort in. It was kind of neat.
I'd be curious what he clocked in at. I wonder if he got noticed by those guys this week because, like, he was really turning it on. I mean, he only got caught because they had angles. Like, if they didn't, he was, like, he torched that one dude, like, and he just barely got him. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That was
he almost
nice
took
play.
The angle away, almost. Not
that
quite.
Was like, did you see the graphic? At one point, we had 121 yards before touching at one point of rushing. Of 120 yards. We had gained 121 yards before our running backs had been touched throughout the game. That was the graphic they showed.
I was questioning that stat, but I think a lot of it was due to that run by Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, that was like 40 right there.
Yeah. So.
Gibbs was averaging like 6 yards a pop, so like for his 8 for 40. So, I mean, he wasn't
Goff
getting
had
touched.
Goff had his 11-yard run.
Yeah, 11-yard run by Goff.
I'll say, because Monty seems to always get touched right away.
Yeah, he does.
Kind of his running style.
Well, that's why like Monty can handle the inside stuff still better than Goff or like Gibbs a lot of ways, because he's looking and he's slicing and dicing and he's always bouncing, and like I think Gibbs will get there, and but that's not going to be his main function either. But like, man, he's just so tough and he's so determined. Like, I think he's going to have more breakout games too as the season goes on and we get more holes for him.
Definitely. And I mean, it's a great two-headed monster in the backfield Lions have right now. Well,
yeah,
the skills complement each other very well. Yes. It's kind of a way that you love to develop your team. We didn't even did you guys mention Monroe besides the throw on his touchdown?
UJ just glanced over him saying Amon-Ra was Amon-Ra.
Well, I know you find him extremely boring, Rut Dog.
No, because you know what? I'm noticing other podcasts and stuff are like doing this too, not mentioning him till like the next day because they forget about him in the postgame.
It's so routine.
Because he's just, exactly. It's like a clockwork. Yeah. And he's just too good to like, it just like puts you to sleep on his like 100-yard performances. But actually, his yards weren't that high today, yeah. But that touchdown was so sweet.
That was sweet.
Touchdown tonight.
And the clutching game at the end to get the first down.
Yep.
Every time they needed a first down, who did they go to? Amon-Ra. I mean,
Gibbs, too.
You go to him. I mean, he's just so reliable. It's unbelievable.
Did you see the one Gibbs first down, though, Z, where they put him into motion and they used his speed to beat Quay Walker to the sideline for the first down?
Say it again, Ruddock?
When they moved Gibbs into motion, he like motioned from the wide receiver slot in, mm-hmm. and then like as soon as he went in, they snapped the ball and he just sprinted out, beating Quay Walker to the sideline for the first down. It was like a third and two or fourth and two.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I thought that was a clever use of him and his speed, and definitely. Like not many people can do that to Quay Walker. That dude's a freak.
Hey, yeah, let me say something about Quay Walker though. Okay, all right. Yeah. Quay Walker is the dumb Packer who he's now got the reputation as the big dummy on that team. He's a really talented player, but he's a big dumb. He remember last year he pushed our trainer when he walked out on the field to help an injured guy, got kicked out of the game at a key moment. And then today when they need to get the ball back, what's he do? He jumps over the line.
Oh yeah. Running
a clearly obvious penalty that you can't do that. And then he gives the ball back to us, and we score the
big
touchdown
dumb,
and
dumb.
The game. So, Quay Walker, the dumb of the game.
I'm surprised the ref even called it, honestly.
If Connor was on here, he'd call it the clown show of the game.
Yeah.
Quay Walker did 19 tackles, 10 solo in this game. He was all over.
Dude's a freak.
I know. He's really good, but he's
right.
A dumb.
He does make dumb mistakes. But look, I mean, Rashawn Gary had one quarterback hit, otherwise no other stats. Tonight, and that's the Green Bay defense is on the field for 83 plays. As well, and the Lions only 57. And Kenny Clark only one assisted tackle tonight. Lucas Van Ness only one. I mean, this D line for the Packers non-existent in the stat book really tonight.
Yeah, our line just made mincemeat of them.
Hey, can I call out one more good play? I remember.
No.
Okay.
But I changed my mind. Go for it.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks. Fine. Yeah. Well, on that double reverse, Jared Goff got out and blocked.
Oh,
the
yeah.
And it was awesome. He took the guy out. He took himself out too, but he eliminated the guy from the play. It was an awesome.
Freaking love Goff, man. He's so
good. My God. That's putting yourself out there. I loved it. Team had to love that one.
Goff is looking like that's a modern quarterback right there. You know, he's got the wheels. He's got the arm.
Yeah,
he's got the whole package.
Yeah, he's got the wheels, baby.
Hey, 11 yards on one carry. That's
after a rushing touchdown last week.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the pattern emerges. Honestly, I hate it. Like, don't be a runner, Jared. We don't need you to be that.
Like,
keep staying healthy in the pocket.
Even on that run, Rudd Dog, I thought he could have gone out of bounds.
And he was tough, I was like, I love it, but I hate it.
Like, what are you doing?
Oh, I love it, and I hate it at the same time. You know, like, what the heck? Don't be doing that, Jared.
Like a good, like, agile athlete would have like a quick stop and get upfield right there, but his like is like bup, 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 like it's like watching a train like slowly
galloping
stop,
gazelle,
you know? And then go up. Yeah.
The golf
I don't
train,
know.
Baby.
It looked pretty badass to me. Yeah. So I think Jared Goff is every bit like we're talking Mahomes, we're talking Josh Allen. Be on the lookout.
Yeah.
Jared Goff emerges.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, honestly though, like the sacks today were kind of on Jared Goff sometimes, but kind of on the Green Bay's coverage at times. But like honestly, I feel like his clock just got so broken because of our O line. Like to like we're at the end of the game where he's like where suddenly the team finally figures out like a coverage for the first time all game, and then he's just standing there when like two D linemen just break from the line unexpectedly. Like, and then it's just like, oh, I'm getting sacked. Cause like you know what I mean? Like he's just not ready to be alert because he just doesn't have to be. Like, that's how good the O-line was today.
Absolutely. Just complete dominance from beginning to end of this game. And just
and Ben Johnson.
I mean, the Packers coach came out and said it was an embarrassing performance. You'd love to see that.
Love it.
Packers fans booing their team at home. That's very rare. I knew some people people in the bar were booing the team, even like so from miles hundreds of miles away, they're booing the team. My wife is not happy either tonight. So
sleeping on the couch tonight, Big Z.
Is that the one time when it's okay not to be happy wife, happy life?
Like, yeah. Like
flips.
Yeah. But I have fun with it at least. That's all matters right now. do I forgot to mention in this. I mentioned in past podcasts with the Packers last year. But the Packers D coordinator is Joe Barry. And Joe Barry is infamously the Lions defense coordinator during the 0-16 season. This is great to see a bad Joe Barry performance. Because, I mean, the front seven for the Packers, besides Quay Walker, got 19 tackles, but a lot of those tackles are like 4 yards after. Like you mentioned, like Rudd Dog, like Lions had 120 yards before contact. They're blasted. And this is like a talented D line, too. But man, just it was a lot of fun just to see them dominate on both sides, both lines.
So
both
fun.
Lines. Oh, did you guys also like that Al Michaels didn't know what Step Brothers was?
That was really funny. That was funny.
There was the one shirt they showed of Dan Campbell and Jared Goff in like a Step Brothers. Yeah, like they replaced the head of the Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly with Jared Goff and Dan Campbell's head. And he's like, that looks like a high school reunion photo. not the poster from Step Brothers. I thought that was really funny.
Showing his age. Al Michaels.
Yeah, UJ knows.
Even I knew what that was.
Well, I thought that should have been like Brad and Dan, maybe. It made more sense, but you know, it's all right. It was funny.
But man, what a presence by the fan base there tonight. You know, we're recording this while the interviews and stuff are going on, so I can't wait to listen to those. I'm trying to find some live right now while we're looking at this stuff, but it says Packers fan flips off Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown blows a kiss to him.
Hey, shout out to Dave Burkett too for picking the Packers in this game.
Oh yeah, a lot of
way
them.
To go, Dave. Way to go, buddy.
Typical.
Good job. Good job on that.
I was bummed that Laporta didn't get his streak keep his streak alive. We're five receptions though.
And you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick
missed it by one.
Ryan Fitzpatrick before the game called Jared Goff a poor man's Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I thought that was asinine. Like,
well,
what?
Goff is on the post game interview here, so it says he made sure to call him out for it afterwards. I'll just see what he said exactly. But
oh yeah,
I saw.
Good to see that get that retribution. But I mean, on the opposite end too, they had Andre Whitworth on that panel, and he had nothing but high praise for Jared Goff. So
he did.
He went to a Super Bowl with him in L.A.
Well. I thought the funnier thing with it was that I'm not sure. He tried to make it sound like he was complimenting Jared, but he said that Matt Ryan is a great quarterback. But I'm like, I don't know. I thought at worst they're like peers, like like
Matt Ryan in his prime was really really good.
Matty,
I mean Jared Goff is also good. I mean Jared Goff. Well,
Jared Goff's just
that's what I mean. They're
prime.
Like peers. Yeah, but he's younger. I guess he is younger.
So I mean, when Jared Goff was in LA, he never had like. There was never like Jared Goff as an elite quarterback. It was Jared Goff as a product of the Sean McVay system, and he just knows where to put the ball that where Sean McVay tells him.
Well, you're I think describing Jared Goff a narrative. He was still a first overall pick for a reason. I mean,
I'm
like he executed
that. I'm just telling you what the general consensus was on him coming out of LA.
Okay.
And now he's rewriting that. Because I mean,
so then I don't like the opinion because it's a dumb consensus.
I mean,
okay.
When
okay.
I definitely think Jared Goff's the top quarterback in this league.
Yes.
And at the very least. But I don't think a lot of people still do. And that's just because they have this image of him turning the ball over a lot in LA.
They bought the lies that McVay pushed that it was all him that for their struggles.
Yeah.
And not the fact that their O line was depleted, that maybe he couldn't, you know, coach Goff the right way instead of just start blaming everything on him and stuff like that.
That's right, just, exactly.
Yeah, but to McVay's argument, though, he got Stafford and they won a Super Bowl.
Whatever.
I know. No, I'm not saying anything against Goff because I really like Goff.
But Stafford, I think, is the perfect quarterback to have if you're a micromanager.
I tend to agree with that, too. I think Goff has a lot more leeway than Stafford had when he was here to do things. And plus, he's just got everything better around him than Stafford did. Let's face it. He's got better receivers. He's got a better O-line. He's got better offensive coordinator. Everything.
Okay. Well, I mean, so what's your point when we go in the Super Bowl this year? Then what's your point?
There's no point. I just, I'm really liking what Jared Goff's doing right now.
Me too.
I think he's playing great football. You know, not every game is going to be perfect, and it never is. Mahomes throws a lot of average games out there, but he still wins. The main thing is winning. So they just keep winning. All right. Exactly. If you keep doing that, I have nothing bad to say.
About Allen?
Baby, win.
Doesn't Allen like a turnover machine over there for the Bills?
He is at times. Yeah,
he can be. It's hit or miss every game.
He gets undisciplined.
That's what I mean. Like perfection is not the name of a great quarterback. Like all the great quarterbacks that throw interceptions. Like, and
right.
You know, sometimes they're really bad plays. Sometimes they're, you know, just not their fault. But like. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Goff one bit. He looks every bit the, like, franchise quarterback right now, like, in every way, shape,
he does.
Form. So, I'm just, like, I'm so happy with him where he's
at.
Can
I throw out
keep him healthy.
Yeah. I'll throw out a couple things, you guys. So, Aiden Hutchinson tonight posted career highs in pressures, 8, and pressure rate. 21% of
menace
created a pressure.
Wow.
When he's on the field, along with 1.5 sacks, as I mentioned, he's at least generated 5 quarterback pressures in 6 games since week 14 of last year, including every game this season. So that was per next gen stats. And then this is actually from a Packers, the Packers radio host. It comes with a video of him showing around the stadium at the end of the game. But there's an absolute ton of blue here tonight. I've been covering Packers home games now for 30 years, and I've never seen more of the other team's colors in the stands at Lambeau than tonight, ever, period.
Changing of the guard.
Yeah.
I mean, the energy is just through the roof with the fan base right now. It's just so much fun.
This
was all this
right.
excitement coming into season, and there's like, a team like the Jets, for instance, they also had a lot of like excitement going into the season, and they have not met that excitement. It's been the opposite. Now, part of that's an injury to their quarterback, but maybe it's not. But the Lions are, either way, just absolutely living up to the hype right now.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to tear my expectations. But it's
well, look,
so
like,
much
it's,
fun.
It's because of the, like, you know, we're talking like the whole villain thing. Like, everyone, like, no, well, not that everyone forgets, but. Like the supervillain herself is up there, like, you know, with her pinky in her mouth, freaking Sheila, what she has done for this organization. And you see it because it's like you're saying, like the energy, that energy didn't just come out of nowhere. Like it's been every bit cultivated and reaped by the Detroit Lions organization from the way they built their staff, their coaching staff, their, you know, their backstage, whatever, all that management, everything top to bottom, yeah. But their marketing, the way they're putting out content for their team, the way they're just, they're cultivating every bit of it, and they're doing it all right on point, and they're cutting edge. She has built this organization brilliantly, and they're just killing it right now.
That is so true.
Definitely. It is. It's just so much fun. So the Lions have the Panthers next week at home. That place is going to be rocking, especially after this game.
Oh, revenge game.
It's
all year,
but it's going to be rocking even more. So, and the Panthers, that's either rookie Bryce Young or Andy Dalton at quarterback with this defense. That'll be a lot of fun. Then they go to Tampa Bay and Baltimore back-to-back weeks. Then they have Monday Night Football against the Raiders. That will be a blast.
It'll be fun.
At L.A. Chargers, who never have a home game, even at their own home. They are home against the Bears. Then they had Thanksgiving against this Packers team again. So they face the Packers twice on a short week, which I love. And then at New Orleans, at Bears, home against the Broncos, who look terrible, at Minnesota, two of the last three games, and then at Dallas. That Dallas one could be for the conference lead.
It could be.
You get that number one seed.
Oh, baby.
A lot of fun. Baby. I mean, there's also the Eagles, but as another factor, the defending NFC champions. But nonetheless, this is a Lions team that not only can win the division, but compete for the number one overall seed in this conference. I think we all firmly believe that.
They're showing it. I mean,
absolutely.
I know they lost to the Seahawks, but I think we're significantly better than the Seahawks.
I do too. We needed that Seahawks game as a little humbling experience put us back in our place and realize, get back to reality a little bit. And I think it really actually is a more help to us than it hurt us. So, I think we kind of needed that.
I agree, UJ, but I also think the Seahawks are actually a good team, and like they have a lot of like savvy about them, and they seem to have our number. I still agree that we are better, but like, I just like that they're kind of like our rival now. I feel like we got to really go after. I think that's like my favorite to be like a postseason matchup with us and them. Like, I want to take them down so bad. Like, they're a tough team, but like, I think we're tougher.
Take everyone down. Everyone. Everyone. You know, hey, it's been 65 years since we won anything. 65 years thinking about that. That's how old I am. 65, okay. They won the championship the year before I was born, and they haven't won anything. Some people blame me, but it's not my fault. I'm telling you, it's not. So it's okay for this fan base to get so pumped up and jacked, because we've never seen anything like this in our lifetimes, okay? A team this good. And I want to give a special shout out to Brad Holmes, because the talent he has achieved to get on this team is like, we are amazed at all the talent we're watching on defense, on offense. Like, we can't get enough of everyone. I mean, like, oh, I can't wait to see who this guy does. The biggest one of all maybe is Hutch. And, you know, granted, there's a little luck involved with that, but still, Hutch is going to be it's going to be between him and Nick Bosa for Defensive Player of the Year this year. I don't know who's going to win it, but I'm
not
telling
Micah Parsons.
Nope. Screw that guy. No. Yeah. Maybe him too. But Hutch is definitely going to be in the conversation, okay, at the end of the year, because he is just a dominant football player, an absolute dominant football player. And Holmes has brought in talent that we have never seen on this team. If you look back to the 0-16 team that we had, we always used to comment, they just literally had no talent. It was a bunch of third-string guys out there trying hard, and just they just didn't have the horses, man. They just didn't have it. But now this is the polar opposite of that team. We have talent everywhere right now and depth to go with it. So this team could go very far. And a lot of this is on Holmes and the organization for putting this together. So God bless them all, and keep going, boys. Just keep pushing, man. This is This is a gift, man. This is so awesome.
I want to give a shout out to our listener, Weston Ball, for hopping on the YouTube here saying, Weston, I believe I remember you. You know, I have a lot of Lions conversations, but I appreciate you hopping on here.
we met in the Venetian.
You know him, Road Dog? Weston? Because I was once this year, so I can't remember who I talked over YouTube.
Oh, dude, I don't know. It's a good chance it's either one of us. I mean, either way, what's up, dude? It's nice to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for joining. And I hope you're drinking. It sounds like he's drinking Blue Cool. I mean, who isn't right
now? Gotta be, right? Like, that game.
And there's a lot of, I know a lot of other NFC North fans, like, that are Vikings or Bears fans that are. They realize their season's probably not going to go the way they wanted to. They have a lot of work to do in the future, and they're starting to drink a little Kool-Aid as well on the side. So
they should be, man.
It is just so much fun. There's a reason this team was chosen to play against Chiefs to start the season in Kansas City, the first game of the season, because this is going to be a special team. It's going to be a special year. Oh man, I forgot to mention 49ers as a contender for the NFC too.
Very firmly. So
I mentioned Eagles and the Cowboys. I forgot to mention 49ers, of course. But
they're really good.
But wow!
Gosh, our trenches though. Like, I like how we line up with any of those teams. It's like, look at all the top teams. They got great trenches on both sides, and I feel like, we got the secondary and linebacker core to back those trenches. Like, oh my God. Team. We got the quarterback. We got the O-line. We got the running backs. We got the receivers. Woo! We're going to do it, baby.
Man, what a fun night. What a Thursday night. I'm going to I still got one more day of work tomorrow, but it's going to be I'm gonna sleep really well tonight. It's gonna be hard for me to go to sleep, actually. I'm just full of energy right now.
I'm about to watch those highlights like four or five times, probably.
I can't wait for the All 22 to come out. Maybe we can talk about that a little more in the next podcast. But it's gonna be fun. And then it's fun when the Lions win these Thursday ones, because then you just sit back on Sunday, whatever victory, see maybe how it falls for the playoff race and things of that nature. But wow. Just what a night in Lambeau in Green Bay.
Oh, what a night. For the
Detroit Lions team.
September back in 23. Lions winning easily. What a night. Woo! Hey, that almost worked. That almost worked.
I think it worked.
Totally worked, Pops.
I think it would definitely work. Well, I think it's going to wrap it up for us here about at the hour mark. So I want to thank everybody listening here tonight, either on YouTube at DTBK. That's where you can follow us, or type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid to follow us there. Subscribe, follow us. Hopefully we have more videos out for you, either live reactions via like streams like this, or maybe other videos that we post, things of that nature. On X, follow us at Drinking Lions. On Instagram, follow us at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. No hyphens or anything in there. It's just at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We had Connor at the game tonight in Lambeau, and he's traveling back now.
Good job, Connor.
He posts a lot of things on there, just where the Lions completely took over Lambeau Field, which is almost unheard of for a traveling team.
Two in a row, baby. Two in a row against them.
Yes, sir. Four in a row against the Green Bay.
Yeah.
And Lambeau, I mean.
Oh, but Dan Campbell, first coach in Lions history to beat the Packers four straight times.
Wow.
Is it even a rivalry if we dominate? Let's ignore that time when the Packers won 25 straight in Lambeau Field against us.
Pay no attention to that.
BDC before Dan Campbell.
Yeah,
we forget that time.
Yeah, right. BDC. Yeah. BDC and ADC, makes sense.
And I want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Want to thank our producer, Kid J, for producing the podcast. He does an outstanding job every week throughout the entire.
He's the best. He is the best.
No one's ever gonna take him down.
A producer, Kid J. Also, I wanted to mention, we want to take your questions or your thoughts on the team and react to it.
We'll take your thoughts.
Or even predictions for the next game. We can play on a post on here. But send that to @drinkingthebluekoolaid @gmail.com. That's drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. Send us a voice message on there. Send us just a quick email on there. Or you can
send
direct
us a hey, what's
on
up?
The social media as
what
well.
You thinking about?
We'd love to have it on. And we want to have a guest picker every week, too, for the predictions.
Yeah. Pickers.
Or send us money. The pickers. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I am.
Seriously.
Anyways, so, and a sideline report. Thank you for hosting the podcast as well. Really appreciate that. Otherwise, everybody, we would just, you know, enjoy tonight. It's a beautiful night. Enjoy the weekend. It's a beautiful fall season we got ahead of us here, so really enjoy that. But man, what a just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful victory in so many ways.
3-1.
It brought a tear to me eye. It did. A tear to me eye.
Has well, thank you.
A better start.
Yes. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions!
Woo! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Lions!
We did it! We did it! All right, all right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.